In the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Portion of our Ephesians text for today. Even though we were dead in our sins, Christ brought us to life. How extraordinarily rich is God's grace. It is by this grace that we have been healed, made whole through faith, not by anything of our own, not by anything we have done. Nobody can claim the credit. We are God's work of art. We are God's work of art, created in Christ to do the good works which God has called us. Christ comes to us disguised as our lives. Isn't that a wonderful insight? Christ comes to us disguised as our lives. Here's a little ditty that was sung in between sessions at the rabbinic conference I attended back in January. It would really help if I had a ukulele, but it goes something like this. You may as well be yourself, because all the other selves are taken. You may as well be yourself, because all the other selves are taken. Crazy fun, isn't it? But what if your true self is not wanted? Racism is madness. There is no explanation. It makes no sense. It is social insanity. And we get used to coping with it. A very wise Southern minister said, human beings can desegregate, but only God can integrate. Deeper realms must be addressed to integrate. Nobody can compel that. God is angered by racism. It violates the creation. It wreaks havoc everywhere. It is an abomination over which God laments. And to lament, you remember, is to carry the pain. It is to feel the anguish. It's not the rage of revenge. That's a cheap shot. To carry the anguish within until it churns and gives birth to a new understanding or a new way of being. God is in anguish. Jordan does not need to persuade us to change. Our prejudice must die so that over flowing love can emerge. Now, the market culture teaches that life is to be found in status and power, right, and visibility, wealth, yes, lives of significance out there. But we know that's not true. Life is about integrity and dignity and values. And once you begin to live from those, the market culture becomes a superficial spectacle, right? Once you start to get down and live in the funky stuff of love, when you get down and start to live in the funky reality of compassion, the superficial no longer works, huh? Now understand, business is business. Business has a place. I'm not objecting, but business is not life. Although racism has been extremely profitable, if we're going to tell some truth here, it's a huge moneymaker. And it's still big business today, in our prison system in particular. Huge. Huge. Jordan is God's work of art. I think you saw that this morning, didn't you? Uh-huh. Just as, and this is even harder to believe perhaps, all the rest of you are God's work of art. What if we related to each other that way all the time? Here's a work of art. Yes. Yeah. Look at the around you quick. These are works of art. You're surrounded. And what every work of art needs is to be loved and to be respected and to be encouraged. Look in the back page of your bulletin this morning. Isn't this an incredible collage of young people carrying signs? Do I look suspicious? Am I on the list? Why, thank you, Mary, no one is on the list. God's. Why does this even have to exist? You see the insanity we're inside of? This is what it takes to break through to people. God so loved the world that gave the beloved Son. God so loves the world that God got involved, engaged, and committed. Throughout the Lenten season, we've been hearing about the cleansing, right? The cleansing of the temple, the cleansing of our hearts, the cleansing of the world. That's what this love means. It's the cleansing, the healing, the making whole for which we gather. Congressman John Lewis was one of the leaders of the Selma March 50 years ago. He came across the Pettus Bridge, named in honor of General Pettus of the Confederate Army and the first Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. And Lewis, being one of the first to cross, was attacked and had his skull cracked open, and he nearly died. And he has said, you know, sometimes you got to get in the way in order to show the way. Sometimes you've got to get in the way to show the way. Pick up your cross. Follow me. A couple of years ago, Congressman Lewis was going to an event. I'm not sure if he was giving testimony. I don't even recall what it was about. But it was in the South at a county courthouse. And protesters had gathered. And in order to give him access and entrance, the police lined the steps of the courthouse, and the crowds on either side, and they began yelling and cursing and racial epithets and finally spitting on him and racial slurs. And he reported later that with each step he simply kept praying, show me the love, give me the love, make me the love, love me the love. And that's where the hope of the world rests. When we embody that love, until he could get inside the courthouse and clean up and clean off. Now, can you imagine if the roles were reversed? And it was an African-American crowd who'd gathered to protest, and the police had lined the corridor, and the congressman is walking up the steps, and people are yelling and shouting and racial slurs, and finally spitting on a white congressman? What do you think might have happened? And what would have been the news story for that night? Pick up your cross. Follow me. Sometimes you've got to get in the way to show the way. You look on our bulletin insert, there's another photo today. This is Pastor Sue Schneider, who as a seminarian trained here at Peace. Today you should be proud. You helped raise up a pastor of commitment and clarity and courage. That's the Ash Wednesday ashes on her forehead. And she, like many other clergy, sent these photos to the police stations in Florida who were using pictures of African Americans for target practice. She says, use me instead. Use me instead. That's picking up your cross. While we were yet dead, says Ephesians today, while we were yet unconscious, unaware, uncaring, unthoughtful, untuned in, Christ brought us life. That phrase, I was dead but now I'm alive, huh? Reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, right? That reckless, dissolute youth, crazy, maniac. What a terrible person he was. But I want to talk about the elder brother who stayed at home, who was a good boy, who was dutiful, who was obedient, who was compliant, who could be counted on, who did everything right. Except he ended up being an alien in his own home, because he refused to have communion with his brother anymore. And his father saw this and understood, and he comes to his son and he makes the appeal, my son, come home, accept your brother. He was dead, now he's alive. Come back into the light. And the story ends right there. What will happen? What will the older brother choose? And what will we choose? Feel the anguish. Move towards the light. Make communion real. For Jordan's sake. For our sake. For Christ's sake. the peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.